Not live and coming to you pre-recorded from the fabulous Sunset Strip in Hollywood, California. It's the Bob Dean Show.
Yeah.
Welcome back, everyone, for episode. Did we ever get that count? I always forget to ask. We're like at 48 or 49. 49. We have to get to 49. So our next episode is going to be the 50th. So it may not be next week because it's going to be something super duper special, y'all.
Oh.
50 episodes. That's pretty cool. This is 49. Let's see. The last show that I did at the Ha Ha Cafe on Monday, I bombed totally. It was ridiculous. I was humiliated. That's the second time in my career I actually went off the stage. I looked around and was like, I'm done. Because I looked at these four black women sitting there with their arms folded like this. And I go, what's the problem? She's like, we can't hear you. I was over. So anyway, that show was a bomb, but there will be – I'll let you know the next up and coming shows. I'm here with – I want to shout out to – let's see, Zach Herndon in Bloomington, Indiana. Hey, Zach.
Hey, Zach.
He's part of our original crew here, but he does work putting the Bob Dean Show, yay, up on my podcast, on my website, BobTheSurlyComic.com. And we are, of course, with my producer, Sammy Junior. Hey, Sammy. And our cinematographer, Joe White. Hey, Joe. He's cool as shit. Dennis Olson and my good friends, Evelyn Selleck and Bill Riley.
Boom.
Seriously, don't be insulted. Thanks. I can't even remember what day it is. And we're going to talk to these guys in just a minute here. And we're just going to have some – this is just a fun for BS episode, as they all are. Is there anything anybody wants to add as far as – well, there's nobody here that's going to be doing any shows or anything like that. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram and all that crap. I don't even follow myself or anybody else, but that's what I'm told I need to do. And, of course, BobTheSurlyComic.com. And let's just get on with the Bob Dean Show.
Yay.
Now, I know Bill and Evelyn. Bill is the owner and director, along with Gary Lamb, of the Crown City Theater Company in
Correct.
North Hollywood on Camarillo Street.
Correct.
And I had the pleasure of meeting Bill and Evelyn some, what, 6 or 7 years ago?
No, something like that.
When we did the original production of A Big Gay North Hollywood Wedding, mm-hmm. and you brought it back as a redux and two grooms, mm-hmm. so that we were proud and happy, and one of the happiest, honest to God, happiest times of my life. I would love more than anything to do more live theater, and especially with the Crown City Theater. But,
thanks.
You know, I got a really good bar gig in town, and unfortunately – it just – it chops into the, you know, the income. But I love live theater and I love doing that. And of course, Evelyn, Miss Evelyn, who you may recognize from a 1903 episode of Dynasty.
Oh, thank you.
That was you?
That was me.
She was a maid.
Maid.
And then also, was it Jiminy Glick?
I had a name, though, and they didn't put it in the IMDb.
Mm-hmm.
It was Ellen. John Forsythe called me Ellen.
Ellen,
yes.
Made in 1983. And but then you were also Mother Glick, right?
Yes, Mother Glick and Helga Mueller in, what was that, Primetime Glick.
Primetime Glick.
What they did was Martin Short did a little reenactment of his life becoming Jiminy Glick. And I played his mother. And then I played the actress who played his mother. So Mother Glick was him when – was talking to him when he was a little child. And then at the very end, I'm in the steam room with George Wendt and Martin Short. And I'm playing Helga Mueller, the actress who played Mother Glick.
Mother Glick.
Yes.
Whoa. Well, was it fun to work – Martin Short's one of my freaking favorites.
Hysterical.
Isn't
that
he just,
guy is hysterical.
Did you get to meet – was Jan Hooks in any of those episodes? Because, you know, we lost her, what, 3 years ago?
Right, right. Actually, she was on that show, but I didn't shoot any scenes with her.
Because she was just – you know, she, a lot of people don't even know who she was, but she did, what, 2 seasons of Designing Women. And then she was Jiminy Glick's wife. But she was just a riot. And she – I think she was in Ohio or somewhere like that. On a, she had a farm and she just got out of the spotlight. And then she passed away a couple of years ago.
Mm.
But she was pretty
bought
cool.
Bought the farm.
She bought the farm. She died on it, bought it. Hey, if you can afford to buy anything now, buy a farm. But so, but Evelyn now – and then Bill.
Yes.
You have had Crown City since 1995,
We actually – incorporated in 95.
It was La Petite Musicale.
Yeah. We did a couple shows. We were kind of itinerant. We mm-hmm. were – you know, there used to be – you know where Jerry's Deli and the bowling alley is on Ventura Boulevard?
Yeah.
There used to be 3 theaters upstairs there.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Exactly. We used to rent the middle one. We did a couple shows up there. And then we did Nevada Shakespeare Festival for a while, and then we kind of came back here to town and did Pasadena Shakes, and that's how we stumbled upon this relationship that we had with Pastor Sue.
I was just going to mention Pastor Sue because she's a delight.
She was a delight.
She was?
It's just bad news. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, she passed away about 2 years ago.
Really?
Oh. Yeah, you didn't know
I
that?
I didn't know that.
She was young.
She was. She was young. She had some kidney issues, I think, or something like that. Anyways, thanks. Awesome person. She's the one that she's the reason why we're there. She was so supportive of our work.
I want to get into that. And hats off to Pastor Sue. She was a wonderful woman.
Definitely.
Because St. Matthew's Lutheran Church on Camarillo Street in North Hollywood is a very gay-friendly church.
Yes.
But it's also – I'm fascinated with urban development and if walls could talk. And that church was built in what, like 33, in the early 30s?
Yes, I'm 32, 33, 34.
32, 33. And it was a very modern building. What do you call it? Chapel or
– Yeah, it's kind of an A-frame kind
of
thing.
Yeah, for its time. It was a very modern structure.
Yes.
And when you think about – because that's that five-point intersection. But that was way even before any kind of home development in that area too. So that was probably like farmland around there.
Yeah, well, actually, I saw some older pictures. They kind of dug up some older pictures. And you know that whole theater wing where we are and our offices are and the second theater on the second floor, that whole area – That was the parking lot that everybody keeps looking for. It's gone.
Yeah. Well, because that whole structure there, I mean, you can see that – I'm sure it's a very vibrant church still.
Yes.
But when those structures were – because the theater space is huge.
Yeah, it's very big.
It's huge. Yeah. And you've got such ability to do so many different productions. And you're doing Agatha Christie's right now.
Oh, that's actually – worked on hiatus for the summer. We did Agatha Christie's The Mousetrap.
The Mousetrap, the longest running play of all time.
Mm-hmm. And we're bringing it back in the fall because it is still stunningly popular. And we just – It was selling out every night, and so many people, even some of our regulars who didn't get a chance to see it, were like, oh my gosh, we have to get over there and see it. So we're going to bring it back in the fall. We haven't quite decided what we're going to do for Christmas yet, but so we're going to bring back Mousetrap in the fall. It's kind of a fun murder mystery, Halloween-y.
Well, we need to get out there and see some more productions, don't we, buddy?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Especially that. That sounds really interesting.
Mousetrap, it's so fun.
Yeah. 66 years it's been the longest running play.
I know.
I did a little research on that too. Well,
keep
please.
The secret.
Don't tell anybody. It's a whodunit. Who done it? Like, who done it? Well, anyway, so.
Nice.
I know. I never said I was tactful. Oh, we got to call Kathy St. George. Now, everybody knows Miss Kathy St. George is usually with us. She is, when she is in town from New York or whatever, she's kind of an unofficial co-host, but we love Kathy. But since Mercury is in retrograde, as we're all discussing, she couldn't find her wallet. And she was pretty upset that she couldn't be with us today, but we promised to call her. Okay.
What, because we're going to charge her?
Look, and I'm getting this all this. No, but I need to tell her right away to call Annie to confuse them.
Okay. I got a square. I'll run her credit card.
Here we go. Dee, 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 dee. Oh, can you hear it?
Are you on speakerphone?
Push the thing.
Should I be on speaker? God damn it. No, I'm not on. Well, hold on because we can't hear you. God damn technology.
Try it now.
Hello, can you hear me? Can you hear her?
There you
go. Are you there, Kathy?
I'm here.
Hooray. I know it's something that
huzzah!
I did. It's something I did and I make no apologies for it. Before I forget, please, when we hang up, can you please call Annie?
Yeah, I was just texting her right now
was in half I'm not going to waste a lot of time, but I was in the middle of a text and then I sent it to her and it's only halfway there. Just tell her that we can't do next Monday because we can't do next Monday the 6th, but upcoming Mondays we can do a show. Just let her know that.
Okay, so I'll tell her the following week.
Yeah, because when I was trying to hook this phone up to talk to you, I see that she's sent this text. Goes, I don't understand this. It's only half a text. So,
You know what? I was just telling her Mercury is in retrograde. She goes, I don't even know what that means. I said,
well,
good.
We're going to talk about that now because we're sitting here and I've already shown your picture because I want these to have a figure of who they're talking with. Dennis is here, but my
Hi,
friend
Kathy.
Hi.
And then Evelyn Selleck and Bill Riley are
Hi,
two.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Evelyn. Hi, Bill.
Hey, how are you?
And Evelyn and I are fellow actors and actresses, and Bill is an actor, and he has the Crown City Theater Company in North Hollywood.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Yeah, it's very cool. And we're just talking about everything under the sun, but it's so funny because when you called to say that you couldn't be here and you were upset because you couldn't find your wallet, And you said, yes, Mercury is in retrograde. And I hung up the phone and I said to Joe White, I said, Kathy is a little upset and, you know, she can't find her wallet and blah, blah. And he goes, well, Mercury's in retrograde. And I was like, holy crap, that's what she just said.
I love when somebody says that because I have – my boyfriend used to look at me like – my ex-boyfriend used to look at me like, oh, my God, are you out of your mind?
Well, no, because then Evelyn and Bill, who were cocktailing it or coffeeing it across the street on here on Fabulous Sunset Boulevard across from the Ruby Studio where we broadcast the Bob Dean Show.
We were at Toy.
But when they came across the street, we said something came up and Evelyn's like, well, Mercury's in retrograde, so everybody's on it.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, so, man. And it's a tough one, too. It's worse than usual.
Yeah, that's what they say.
Because all my computers, my computer, my iPhone, and my iPad all started acting crazy on the 8th. And I didn't even know Mercury was going in. I never really know until I feel it, you know? And I checked, and Mercury had just gone into the shadow of retrograde on the 7th. So it wasn't even in full-blown retrograde, which is, you're getting a sample of what's to come.
Thursday is when it goes full-on.
Is that? Because that's what Joe said, right, when I said that you had mentioned Mercury retrograde, and he said, whatever you do, don't buy any kind of electronics or appliances.
Uh-huh.
And is this microphone going to explode in my face or something while we're recording this show?
And don't send any text to loved ones that might be misconstrued because it bit me in the ass.
Well, that's what I just did. Well, maybe that's what happened to Roseanne Barr, poor thing. Listen, I'm here to tell you guys right now.
The timing is off.
There's no excuse for it, but I'm telling you what. Being a victim of Ambien, I absolutely believe her. And it doesn't make it right, but I absolutely believe her when she says she didn't remember doing it. Because I'm not even going to tell you. I'm not even going to tell you about that time I drove to Redondo Beach. Anyway.
Oh, I don't know. I've said things.
So Mercury in retrograde. So Joe's familiar with it. Evelyn, Bill, have you ever studied or anything? Because I have not.
That's not familiar with the exact.
I prefer astrology to astronomy. Astronomy is
– what's the difference between
– one's a science and one's a pseudoscience.
Yeah, exactly. I never read a daily horoscope. I've never done that, but I've read like a chart where it's the time you're born and where the planets are, and it explains your personality and some of your interests. And I find some of that to be spot on, but I would never get up and go, oh, don't call this person or don't do this because that's just a little.
Well, so what does that mean? Like I'm a Pisces. I'm a Pisces with an asshole rising.
You're totally.
If you don't know it already, folks, I am.
Thank God you're not a Scorpio.
Preparation age for you.
I only pick on my friends because I'm insecure about myself. Well, Kathy, we'd miss you, but don't worry. There's going to be plenty more shows to come.
I love you all.
I'm too.
I'm still looking for my wallet.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to a bar.
All right. Well, if you need anything, you know, call me and I'll send an Uber.
Oh, thank you.
We love you.
Have fun, you guys.
Bye, Kathy.
Bye. That was Kathy St. George, our dear friend, the Miss August 1983. And she is still smoking hot, ladies and gentlemen. And just, she's fun as hell. A lot of laughs. And Mercury in retrograde. So you study this, but you are in tune with it, per se?
Yes. But also we have that Mars coming so close yesterday. That also adds to all of this.
I know. Huh?
That makes the Mercury retrograde even
more intense.
You mean the news story about whatever Donald Trump said and the monkey that somebody let out of the San Diego Zoo were more important than something like
Santa Ana Zoo.
No.
Was it?
A lemur.
Someone let a monkey out?
They stole a lemur and let the two monkeys go.
This had something to do with Mercury?
Well, what I was going to do was say it had something to do with how come that's not an issue on the news when all this other baloney is.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
But a lemur, that's big news. Okay, so anyway, please, go ahead.
A lemur's on.
That's all I know.
Who wouldn't want a lemur?
I have to check with Astrology Zone to know the rest.
Okay.
I don't know.
Madam Evelyn.
Yes.
Do you read this stuff? You certainly can't look up in this. I can barely see the moon in the valley. See where Mars or Mercury.
Well, that was a big news story yesterday about the Mars thing. Oh, okay. That's why everyone went up to the Griffith Park Observatory to go look at it through the telescopes. They put telescopes all around.
Oh, neat.
Yeah. And you could go up and look at
that. Damn, and I sat on my ass watching friggin' reruns of Laverne and Shirley.
Right.
But it probably took 3 hours to get up to the observatory anyway, though.
Yes.
Exactly. L.A. is the coolest town. I love it here. Do you guys love it here?
Yes.
I love it.
I love it here. But at the same time, You know, they're like, yay, come to the seafood festival, or yay, come to the library book festival. It's like, forget it. There's going to be 14 million people there before 8 a.m.
Exactly. Come to the OC Fair.
Uh-huh, forget it.
I am going to the Ventura County Fair tomorrow, though. It is the best fair in the area.
Well, we should go.
Oh, it's gee, right go. On the beach.
Wow.
In Ventura?
Yeah.
It's nice up there, too. The beaches beautiful. Are really beautiful.
Does this have anything to do with the strawberry? Is this the strawberry
season?
No, this
is the strawberry festival is in Ventura, too. This is fantastic. Yeah. This is really nice. And, you know, the L.A. one is all stinky and smelly and a different crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Up there, it's a nicer crowd.
But you can bet on the ponies out at that fair.
That's true, too. That's true, too.
You can bet on the ponies in Pomona.
Right.
That's a lot of fun.
Is it?
Oh, yeah. I love betting.
I've never been to the dog track or the pony, you know, racetrack or anything like that.
Oh, it's fun. There's the Santa Anita's right over here. And then
what did they replace? What was the track that was in L.A. for years and years?
The Hollywood Park.
The Hollywood Park. Yeah. What did they? Oh, that's where the new stadium's going, right?
Yeah.
I loved that place. So that was really a fun place to go.
That's what I understood. It was neat to hear the histories of those celebrities that went there and that sort of thing. Blah, yeah. Blah. And before I forget, too, speaking of celebrities, Evelyn, one of my lovely favorite people, both of these guys have been to, as well as Dennis, they've all been to my happy birthday Baby Jesus Christmas soirée,
mm-hmm.
cocktail soirée.
Oh,
that's every Christmas
it.
Eve. It's a pretty fun party. But Evelyn also worked with many, many years ago. You may have forgotten that you told me this, but one of my all-time favorite comedian, actresses, and singers, Julie Brown.
Oh, yeah.
Not downtown Julie Brown. Julie Brown, the homecoming queen's got a gun. Earth Girls Are Easy.
That's right.
I friggin' love her.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You worked with her years ago, right?
Yeah,
see, that's,
as at a restaurant, not as an actress.
Yeah. I remember you telling me that. She was a hostess or something?
She was a hostess. I was a waitress at the Ginger Man in Beverly Hills, which was owned by Carol O'Connor, Archie Bunker, and Patrick O'Neill.
Really? I didn't know that was the restaurant where you worked.
I
am an actor and a comedian, which means I'm a bartender.
Yeah, exactly.
And, but I got a really good gig in Beverly Hills, as we were talking about before we started, as I told Bill and Evelyn, I'd love to do more live theater, as I've mentioned this many times, but, you know, you can't give up those bar shifts. You really can't.
No.
Because everybody wants your damn job, and I'm an old bartender in this town. But a lot of the folks who come into my bar are Beverly Hills, long, long, long time resident. So they were just talking about that the other night. And they say Carol O'Connor's place, but I didn't realize it was called the Ginger Man.
Yeah.
And it was on Beverly?
Bedford. And Wilshire, right in the corner there. I forget the name of the new place that's there. It's been there a couple of years. But, it was a great – everyone went there. That was the place to go during that time.
And that was what, maybe in the
late
70s? Late
70s, early 80s.
Well, was he a nice man?
Very nice. Very nice.
Because he sure was a hell of a funny guy.
Yeah.
I don't care what anybody says. All in the Family, you cannot top that show for brilliant humor and writing. You know,
kind of a grumpy old. That reminds me a little bit of – you should talk about some of the people's reactions to you when you were performing a fairly similar character.
Well, you know, I have done that before, and I love doing it because people still – it doesn't happen often. It was originally – the Redux was two grooms, and it was a beautifully written play. As a matter of fact, Ben Robner was on a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
He says hi.
Hey,
but anyway, the point being, though, is that this was the way to be – I want you to give us a background. It's like a Tony and Tina's Wedding. It's an interactive play with how many – there were, what, 30 people in our cast?
No, it wasn't that bad.
Well, no, it was 20.
It was 19.
It was a lot.
It was originally 19, and I think the Redux, we got it down to 17 because we cut a couple characters. But because – and this relates back to Pastor Sue, of course. Because our situation being having a theater in a church complex – Pastor Sue thought it would be very cool because it is a very a church that is inclusive to the gay community.
Mm-hmm.
She was excited about the possibility of using the actual church itself for the wedding. So what we did was we tore everything out of the theater, put in a big reception hall,
right?
Big long tables and things like that, dance floor, etc.
Bar.
Mm-hmm. And then so the first part of the show happened in the church, and the audiences would come up through the front, and they'd come in like they were going to a regular wedding. And oftentimes friends would not tell. They say, "I got to go to a wedding. You want to come with me?" And blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
They would kind of josh people into getting in there because it was very, very realistic.
It was – yeah. It was wonderful. It was beautiful. And my character was Philip Logan. And Jodie Harrison, I love her. She's been on the show too. What's up, JoJo? Played my lovely wife, and she was just out. And what it was is that two young men were getting married, and I was the father of the Goyim.
Yes.
The blonde-haired, blue-eyed ex-football star who was had just recently come out to shock his family and friends, and he was in love with this Jewish guy whose family was very, very liberal and very Hollywood-esque and Hollywood and, you know, blah, 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 and the two families clash and mix and all that. And it was just brilliant, and I swear, I wish to God we could just do it every week. Because it was so much fun. Yeah, and my character was the father and country clubbing slash, you know, running a car dealership kind of guy, ex-football player myself, blah, blah, blah. And we were – my wife and I are completely against this, completely. And the whole point I go into this background is because everybody is in character. Aunt Myra. You were Aunt Myra in the first episode, but then didn't they twitch?
Rose was the reincarnation. In the Redex, yes,
right.
Yes.
And you were the aunt of Brent – or Josh, the Jewish kid.
Right,
so you're the Jew and I'm the Goyim. Which remember you tell
but
you
I was
story.
From New Jersey.
You flew in from Jersey.
Right, right.
That's right. You were like on the other side of the Hollywood family.
Kind of annoying like this. Exactly. <you know? laughs>
But
I didn't break the mic.
Everybody
Sorry.
Was in character. So the theater was like sold out almost every performance. And it starts off going into a church and nobody knows. There's all kinds of antics and all different points in the ceremony. It's an actual wedding ceremony.
Yeah, it is really.
It plays out exactly. The lighting of the unity candle and the whole – but there's all sorts of antics throughout that. Then the guests walk through the courtyard into the Crown City Theater, which is done as a wedding reception. And then there's lots of antics and – you know, I think I had like, what, 10 scripted lines or less in the entire – scripted.
Really?
Yeah. But my character – you know, every character had a stronghold, but there wasn't a lot. You know, Brent and Josh, of course, had lots and lots of dialogue, but – my favorite thing to do was at the reception. Of course, mm-hmm. I'm supposed to be this uptight Republican, you know, and I was always twirling a cigarette in my hands and, you know, a pseudo martini. And my wife's always yelling across the room, Phil, put out that cigarette. I'm like, you know, you can't smoke in this gut. I mean, you know, blah, blah, blah kind of thing. Right. But my favorite thing to do would be to go up to obviously lesbian couples, lovely, and, you know, or same with the gay couples. You know, there's one you can sort of tell when one is the more dominant or whatever. And I would walk up and I'd be so, hey, like, I'm Phil Logan. And they'd be like, hello. And I'm like, well, I'm Brent's father. Are you a friend of Brent's or Josh's? And they're like, they, you know, and the responses were always different, but my favorite would be like, well, friends of both. And I go, oh, so like, are you guys like a couple? And one of them would be like, yes, we are. And I'm like, damn, that's too bad because you're both so smoking hot. And they'd be like, and then I just walk away. So I got to be, you know, the asshole that I am in real life. I got to be in the theater. And it was so much fun because a couple of times when we took our bows, I got a couple of boos.
Sure.
And I've had it three times in the Beverly Hills restaurant where I work, Wolfgang Steakhouse by Wolfgang's Wiener, Beverly Hills. Come and see me Wednesday through Saturday and tip fat in cash, please. And this one in particular, this guy, couple came in and this guy, he's like, I know you from somewhere.
Oh, for God's sake.
And it's happened three times, but this is my favorite one. He's like, I know you from somewhere. And I'm like, well, I used to work across the street at La Scala because people recognize you in there. He's like, no, that's not it. And I'm like, well, you know, I've had a little bit of success with a couple of local internet commercials. No, that's not it. Well, I do stand up. No, that's not it. And I'm like, well. And then 5 minutes later, you're that asshole dad from that play. And I'm like, yay! And I take a big bow and everybody claps. Yeah. It's great to be recognized.
That's a great compliment.
It
yeah.
certainly
yeah.
is. And I was like, thank you. And he's like, man, you were great. But yeah, it was just a great, great show. But I remember that one Halloween you got scolded.
Oh, I know.
Because
there's a part, and I'm not going to spoil it because I'm sure this will be coming back around someday. Someday soon, I hope. But your character, for whatever reason, enters in the middle of the wedding through a side door.
Yes.
And we were doing a Halloween production.
Well, she goes to the bathroom during the wedding.
Right.
And
I was trying to avoid letting anybody
back.
Know that.
Oh, yeah. Well, I wouldn't leave the wedding otherwise, you know.
That's true. You could have had a trolley horse or something. But anyway, so you came in wearing
a troll head mask.
Yeah.
And Mr. Riley was not amused.
No, I almost got fired.
Yeah, the producer got really mad.
But, yeah.
Because Bill Bill played the piano.
Right.
Right.
And we have not had, I've been trying forever to get Ben on here. And, you know, we'll talk about his character, you know, BP Major, Ben Pauly. Yeah, because we talk about every 6 months. He's like, darling, I'm so busy. And then he pops in the restaurant from time to time. But he is just the funniest guy. But he does a sings a number. But Bill is a pianist through the ceremony. So he's in there as well. But God, what fun. That was so much fun. Every single show.
And Ben Pauly was amazingly fun singing that song.
But see, live theater, that's what's – live theater, and it's just so much fun. There's like 19 of us back in that tiny little dressing room,
right,
almost naked. And it's like we're all just family, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I saw some fucking nice asses in that, male and female. But that's neither here nor there for those children that are watching. But when I was working with – it was right when the Redux started, or it was in summertime. It was hot as shit. But I was – in a crisis with one of the blind people that I read to, and we had been – we were way over – I was over at Rampart Police Station all afternoon.
And I remember that now.
And I literally – I was driving a Lincoln Town car that my mechanic had loaned me. And I swear, I mean, God forgive me for the way I drove on the 101 freeway to get there. But I remember calling you, and I was like, I can make an entrance like I, you know, I said I wasn't going to come because we had discussed that,
right,
blah, blah,
exactly,
blah. And I was freaking out. I mean, I literally slammed on the brakes, jumped out of that car, and walked and met Jody as we were supposed to enter. So wow. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You know, actually, that was a kind of a cool connection as well, talking about connections. So the stage manager of the show, Zad Potter. I think he stage managed both shows, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Yeah,
he certainly did. Both.
Really, really wonderful guy. It turns out that you knew his grandmother.
That's right.
Lucille.
You know what? Thank you for bringing that up. I forgot because when I first started volunteering at the Braille Institute in Hollywood, I started off reading books on the tape because I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. I was taking classes at Calvin Thompson. It was a voiceover practice. And the more that I went in to read, the more people I got to meet. And Lucille, his grandmother, was this sweet lady who just came in every – and she was 95 at the time. And she had the walker with the little horn and the flowers on it and stuff. And she just came in every day. And she had some vision impairment herself. But she was just more or less like a big old ray of sunshine for everybody there.
Yeah,
I forgot. Oh, God bless you, Lucille. That's what my LeBaron's name is, too.
Oh, really?
Lucille the LeBaron.
Oh, well, there you go. Maybe I'll mention that to Zad.
But please tell him hello. And Carol Potter's his mom, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Carol Potter's mom. And his dad is Tony Potter, and that was Tony's mom. Lucille was Tony's dad.
Tony's mom. Yeah. God, see, 6 degrees of separation. I met so many really cool people through that production, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lucille.
And many of us have stayed in touch over all these years.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Lifelong friendships,
yeah,
right,
exactly,
here.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, and I wish that we had more space because I've had on the show so far, I'm glad you guys finally made it, Jody, Paul Storiali. See, now these names are friggin'
escaping going. You?
Yeah, the friggin' she was the Jody's stand-in. She's fabulous. She's a wonderful
Karen
actor.
Praxel?
Karen Praxel.
Oh,
thank
Karen,
you. I'm sorry, no, Karen. You know I love you. Because we were talking about how she and her husband moved to Baldwin Hills from Venice. And that's been, 2 years ago or whatever. Yeah. But at any rate, Karen Praxel. And I've been back and forth in communique with Evan. I tried to get him to – I gave him a jingle at the last minute to be a little call and to say, oh, but Evan's all over the place now, isn't he?
Is he, boy. Now, did you see the
– Hairspray?
The Hairspray where he did the Ready Whip guy?
All
you have to do is Google Hairspray Ready Whip guy and you can see his –
Well, his name is Evan Strand. Just Google him. And he is just –
He does everything.
He's proud to be a friend – you know, a friend of ours. He is a very handsome guy and he's a straight ballerina.
Yep.
And just to watch his – well, first of all, his body is like a work of art, but to watch his movement, I mean, it's beautiful. But
amazing.
in the live production of Hairspray that NBC did last year.
2 years ago, I think.
2 years ago. He was also the Ready Whip. He was in the dance troupe. He was one of the guys in the dancing too.
Right. Oh, he was. I didn't know that.
But he was the Ready Whip guy and hanging on the side of that milk truck and all that sort of thing.
So retro looking.
Yeah.
So cool.
So we're going to have Evan on and Philip Pruitt.
And Jade has really made a name for herself.
Has she really?
She's on Magicians now, the Magicians.
Really?
Yes. She's got a big part on that.
We need to have a little reunion party.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would really be fun. I didn't even know Pastor Sue had passed. That's so sad. She was really awesome.
She was very awesome. And the thing that I liked about her was she saw a connection between their mission and our mission. And so whenever there was a question where maybe somebody in the congregation would say, oh, well, is that appropriate? And
yeah.
she was always, nope, it's all holy. Everything that's happening here is holy. They never put any restrictions on the – she never put any restrictions on the shows that we would do or the content of the shows or anything like that. She just was 100% supportive.
Well, now, who is the new pastor of the St. Matthews?
Her name is Pastor Stephanie. And she's a very, very fine woman as well. She's
She's a supportive of Crown Theater City and your mission and the shows.
Yeah, she's very, very supportive.
God, I wish I could be more part in more shows. I mean, not that I have been asked, you know. But no, I was asked to come back to Two Grooms, which I just thank you so much because I'm telling you that was one of the most in my acting career. Which I'm very proud of what I've done. That was it was absolutely wonderful.
Give me a call. We'll put you in Mousetrap.
Thanks. If I can do it on Sundays. And you know what? It's funny because – well, I'm not going to go into the whole thing. But, yeah, I just love doing it. And the first time it ran, wasn't it like one of the longest running shows in Los Angeles?
Yeah,
theater?
It was was over 9 months.
Yeah. Wow. Which is crazy cool because most shows run about, what, a month, six weeks?
6 weeks at the most. Huh?
Yeah.
So it was a huge hit.
That was fantastic.
I was going to bring up a name, but I don't think I should on the Bob Dean Show. Yeah. I'll ask you afterwards, but I'm sure you've heard of this person. But there's people that I know that study with this person. Honestly, I'm afraid to. This person, and it's kind of like a cult thing.
Oh, I don't know about cults.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's not a really – but that's kind of where I perceive it. And then when somebody chooses to leave this particular person, they're like shunned.
That's kind of an Amishy kind of.
Oh, I know. Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
All Amishy, like.
So now, Evan, let's change the subject completely here on the Bob Dean Show.
Well, wait a minute, though. You got to tell. Bill has a little. He's done that Two Grooms, a form of it, into a little film.
Oh, yeah.
Please do tell. Yeah. Thank you, Evelyn.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you'll get a little text from me when it's about to. We're going to show it. We did a little prequel. It's called Friends of Friends. It's about how the boys meet. And they meet at a friend's house, and it's two completely separate groups of friends.
You mentioned this to me, but please continue.
Right.
Go, go, go.
Yeah. These two completely separate groups of friends and how we are – basically the thing of it is how these two guys have to be somehow removed from their groups of friends to actually meet and to make a connection.
Because and to fall in love.
Right. It's about how our friends sometimes define us and hold us back and keep us from becoming the person that we want to be. Of course, with Brent, he can't even come out of the closet. His friends are so strangling him. And then the thing with Josh, of course, is he has this very, very strong relationship with his beard or whatever you want to call her. And she just won't let him date anybody. Mm-hmm.
She just had a freak out when she realized that the ceremony, that the wedding was actually going to take place.
Yes, exactly. So it's kind of a fun film, and how we managed to get the two boys separated from the group of friends in this house is pretty fun and pretty unique. And it's a very, very charming film.
I can't wait to see it because, I think about the Brent character, and honestly and truly, that was me. That was me, and I ran in Nashville, Tennessee, in the my high school years were the 70s, and college was into the early 80s, and I was in such a conservative Republican background, and Nashville was such a small town, and everybody knew each other at that point, and I was so afraid that my parents were going to hate me, and God was going to hate me, and my friends were going to shun me, that I quit college and moved to Florida. The point of me telling you all this is that Keith Garson, Jeff Teeble, and Del Pacwa. There were four of us, and these three guys are handsome, and they're very successful, and they've got beautiful homes and blah, blah, blah. But we were like the Four Musketeers. Those guys were so pissed off at me because I didn't tell them. And my parents, of course, Mom wasn't real happy, but Dad was cool, and then it came around. But the whole point about it is that's what the Brett character and how Philip and toward the end and all that. But yeah, the Two Grooms is – it's really a marvelous piece.
Right. And the thing is you can sort of see and you can sort of predict as he evolves and becomes more of himself which friends he's going to keep and are going to be supportive of him and which friends in the long run he's actually going to have to shed.
Mm-hmm.
And there's – any time you move forward in your life, there's always going to be – as you gain something, you're going to lose something.
Yeah.
And so the things that he's going to lose are things that were actually things that were holding him back.
Right. And ideals and friends that he didn't need in the first place.
Right, exactly.
And let's talk about Mario Dalto. Is it Dalto?
Mario Dalto, yeah.
Well, Dalto. I love following him through Facebook. Hey, Mario, we love you. This kid, he played my son's best friend, right?
Yes, Jeff.
Jeff. And this kid, what is his background? He's like Portuguese or Italian or something. And he's
Italian and Mexican, I
think. Okay.
Half Mexican.
The guy, face it, he's just friggin' beautiful. Mm-hmm. He is beautiful.
Pretty amazing body. Yeah.
And he's a real sweetheart, too.
Yeah.
But his body's friggin' amazing. And that's what he put on his Facebook. It's like, you know, his little quote will be like, you know, don't forget to walk the dog. You know? No. But my favorite part, my favorite scene of the whole thing was when I got to be so angry at the end when he starts to, and I'm not going to say because someday we're all going to see this again. But there are, you know, scenes in the movie where Phil gets, in the play where Phil gets to just be outrageously angry. And I loved it when I got to like, because that was the anger of the father coming out. But then, anyway.
There was a great laugh at that moment too that we got. Very fun.
And I love Jodie Harrison. Jodie, my wife, she was supposed to be out of it on, and she's like, but I don't want to reveal these things, so I won't. But I hope it comes around soon. Now, what I wanted to go to real quick, too, Evelyn, tell us about being a school teacher.
Oh.
Now, you're a high school teacher?
No, I'm elementary school.
Oh, my goodness. This is the other side of Miss Selleck. Mrs. Selleck. Is it Miss or Mrs.? Do we go?
Ms.
How's your daughter?
She's fine.
And how's your daughter?
She just had a baby.
Grandpa Billy. Congratulations.
Bill. 21st.
Yep. You have a really close connection. I'm going to get back to you. But you have a real tight connection with your family in Chicago, right?
Yes.
Yeah. No, that's awesome.
Very, very, very much.
Okay. But so now your kids are good. Your grandkids are good. Well, who's your grandbaby? Is it a boy or girl?
Boy.
Boy. And his name is?
William.
William. Shout out to William.
Really?
Yeah,
after
William.
You?
I guess.
Well, I mean, we're going to say yes.
Okay.
Maybe.
Thank you very much. Okay, so how long have you been in elementary? Well, now, can you tell us what school you're at? What school that you teach what grade level? Because I know you don't end the sentence with that. Sorry, Mom.
Well, I teach in Los Angeles Unified School District, let's say. Elementary, first or second grade.
No kidding.
I won't mention the school.
You are a patient woman, aren't you?
I guess so. But I like to have fun. I act every day with the kids. You know, it's like my whole teaching persona is a character to me.
I'm sure that you honestly and truly are just wonderful.
Well, I have a lot of fun, and the kids beg to be put back in my class the next year. So I guess I am.
That says it all.
How long have you been teaching?
19 years.
No kidding.
I'm not kidding.
That's awesome.
I believe it. Yes.
My friend Julia Cargill in Nashville, one of my oldest and dearest friends, she just retired from teaching high school.
Mm.
And she worked at one of the more troubled schools in the Metro Nashville. And just some of the stories that she shared with me. But
what? I know. I think Evelyn's you're at a pretty tough school.
I'm in a tough area.
It's a very tough area. Very tough.
It's called the Witch's Hat, that area in Panorama City. And
That's out the 5, right?
405, 5. Yeah, we're okay.
Between the 5 and the 405. It's kind of that
right. Okay.
North of Roscoe.
Drug dealers, stuff like that, you know, gangs, all that kind of stuff. But we keep it nice in our school. Now, the only problem is lately, you know, we have a school board who is not doing us very well. They are wanting to make everything into privatized charters, the majority of the school board. And one of the school board members just resigned, actually, because he was he's in court for being accused of laundering money in his campaign to become school board member. So he resigned last week. Hmm. And we're very happy about that.
Well, I did know about Mercury and retrograde.
Now we know.
I did know about that. I did hear that on the news.
Yeah.
Well, now what – explain to you, the listening audience, because I'm a little confused myself, as far as going from a public as a unified school district into private charterization. What does that mean? Because there's like charter schools in my Stoner Park neighborhood, you know. But what does it – going from a unified school district of Los Angeles or Metro Davidson County for my national friends or whatever to privatized charter? How does that affect the kids? What does it mean?
Well, it means this. The privatized charters are usually backed by big money corporations like the Waltons from Walmart, the guy who runs Netflix, Bill and Melinda Gates. They're all for the – privatized charter, supposedly for the good of the children, but it's basically to make a profit. It's not really.
So it's like sending kids to a private school.
But it's paid for with tax dollars? Paid for with tax dollars, yes. But the problem is this. They're very selective in their students. They take the cream of the crop of all the students.
So they want to skim the fat off the top and leave the public schools for the kids' behavior problems.
Exactly. Exactly. So it's really a bad deal. They treat teachers like crap in a lot of the charter schools.
Well, they treat teachers like crap in a lot of schools either way.
Right, they do.
In this town,
like,
people are
fighting for
teachers and firemen
right
are sleeping in their fucking cars.
Right,
and that's
right.
That's absolutely right. Pardon my language.
And spending their money on school supplies for the kids.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's go ahead.
No, but it's – and they just hired a new superintendent of schools – and he is an investment banker. He has no experience in education.
Sounds like a president.
Exactly. These privatizers on our school board, the ones that want the privatization, and they were all, by the way, backed by millions and millions of dollars in campaign funds to get their seats on the school board. These people hired this guy. And he just got hired at the end of June with no public input, no teacher input, no administrators input. They went behind closed doors and they hired the superintendent. And the union of the teachers is up in arms against that.
Well, of course.
And they feel because that
it's outrageous.
One crook that is now resigned was one of the deciding votes that it should be redone. We should have a redo of the choosing of
absolutely.
The superintendent of our
see, couple that's things we need to redo on.
Yeah.
Well, there's that's precisely well, why, ladies and
exactly.
gentlemen, I have cats.
Yeah.
Do we? How much time do we have?
Oh, 10 minutes.
Cool.
Can we play a little bit of Jump?
Yeah, okay.
Okay, now, Dennis, would you please hold up the book? Now, as you remember, when we have the time, we play a little bit of Just Jump.
Okay.
So named by our friend, past guest, Ben Good, from the Amy Vanderbilt's Everyday Etiquette book from 1957.
57.
Yes. Okay. Now, Dennis goes through and picks out a couple of questions, and he's going to read them to us, and we're going to see if we know the answer.
This sounds fun.
All right. The first question is from TOC of Nashville, Tennessee. Should the male members of a formal wedding wear white handkerchiefs in their breast pockets? If so, how should these be arranged?
I
say yes, they should. And in the what's the trifold?
It's a little triangle. The two little triangle guys.
My father taught me that. Exactly. It's the two little.
And it should be white, and I think that's fine, even if the tuxedos are white. But these are black tuxedos, correct? Does it mention?
It does. It just says formal wedding wear.
Formal wedding? Yeah. What if you need to sneeze? You're going to need that.
I like the two-peak, too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, a handkerchief in the breast pocket of a man's suit is always a finishing touch. White handkerchiefs are always correct for any formal occasion, although they may have monograms in black, white, gray, or maroon. A man's handkerchief is usually shaken out and then put casually in his pocket, not arranged in little points.
Oh.
Who knew that? I've always saw the opposite.
I thought you had to fold it nice. Yeah.
The square fold is equally acceptable, though probably not as popular.
Oh, that's what my dad taught me was the square fold.
The square.
Mm.
And also you never left the house without polishing your friggin' shoes, too. But we can take it and fluff it and stick it in there?
Yeah. That's what.
Do you carry anybody carry a handkerchief anymore?
I have one in my –
Oh, really?
For goodness sakes.
Dang, man. And this guy can spell.
Well, just casually shove it in your
He asked me once for fun if I wanted to diagram a friggin' sentence.
That's actually very colorful.
That's a beautiful handkerchief.
Wow.
Oh.
Dennis, you should be a
Mercury's in retrograde.
Is that?
Isn't that Our Lady of Guadalupe?
Is that
yeah.
who that is?
Yeah,
oh,
is.
Okay.
Dennis Olsen, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, there you go. Just shove it in.
Let's have another question, please, Mr. Olsen.
One for the ladies, I hope.
We're having a formal evening wedding. My groom will wear white tie, and so will his best man. Is it all right if the ushers wear white dinner jackets as the wedding will take place in July?
I say absolutely.
Yeah.
I would say no.
The answer is, I suggest that the groom, his best man, and the fathers involved all wear white dinner jackets and abandon the idea of tails this late in the season. Oh. It would not be correct for the ushers to be dressed so differently from the principals.
Oh, oh
well, there you go. They can all be right.
Well, now we know. I know that when my nephew Matthew got married in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, what, 5 years ago? It was August, and it was gorgeous. My nephew's handsome, his bride and their new baby Parker, who was a preemie, is doing great. Anyway, it was a very, very formal outdoor Southern wedding, very formal. All the guys were in black tie, except Uncle Bob, who breezed in from Los Angeles wearing a
shorts,
a pink shirt and a what do you call it? Not seersucker, a linen suit. And
I smoked
right in front of everybody. And I remember my ex sister in law's sorority sister friends going, "Oh my Lord, there's Bob. Isn't he the homosexual that moved to Los Angeles?"
Right? No, it's just a pink shirt.
Another question, please.
All right. What's the difference in tips for a bellhop who brings up your bags and for one who just delivers a telegram or brings up your mail?
Well,
oh, that's a good one, because I mean I've been a tipped employee most of my adult life. And,
yeah, I do.
Are we going from this day and age?
Yeah,
or
no.
This is from 1957.
Because
I don't think do they still even have bellhops?
Yes.
Yes.
No,
but
at
they
fancy
don't
places.
At the Super 8.
In Vegas.
In Vegas. Yeah. But yeah, so you know what? That's a tough one. We'll just go with whatever, you know, for fun.
I suppose you would tip more if somebody
to the bellhop.
Yeah.
Whoever's going to bring you a telegram. Because
you know, he's hopping all day.
Right?
Hopping. You know,
I don't think they
And you
have
just give two bits.
Anymore.
What was 2 bits 50 cents or a
No, that was a haircut.
2 bits?
Was.
Is that a quarter or 50 cents?
50 cents.
50 cents?
Each bit is a quarter.
So I guess that's what you probably tip the delivering of a telegram.
Okay. The standard tip for a bellhop carrying up luggage for a newly registered guest or couple is a quarter if he is able to bring all the luggage in one trip.
Oh, my God.
That 25 cents? Now, this is 60 years ago, ladies and gentlemen.
If two
Cheap
or more
bitch.
Trips are needed, the tip is If two or more trips are needed, the tip advances on the basis of 25 cents for each trip involved. Bellhops who deliver telegrams, a newspaper, or other small things to the room receive a dime.
A dime.
Oh.
A large bulky package or an armful of clothes from the valet should bring him a quarter tip.
I haven't seen a dime in a long time.
I know.
Well, you know, this is the time of year where all the people that take our money for putting gas in our cars. Yeah, I said it. But in Beverly Hills, this is the August is a month where all the super duper 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 duper
touristy
duper filthy rich Persians come for season. And they are cruise all around Beverly Hills during the day in caravans of black SUVs with ladies in waiting and the whole nine yards, and they come in for lunch. And they tip fat. They don't tip a quarter because I don't care who they are. I'd be telling them, let me tell you something. I fill up my Buick. You need to come back and give me a damn tip. But those guys are the only people I can think of that would have more than one piece of luggage.
And
they
Kim Kardashian.
Oh, that. Yeah. She wore that some rapper. Somebody broke into his house this morning. He's like 15 years old. And he lives in these $45 Yeah, it's enough about that. Don't get me depressed. I'm having too good of a time to get depressed on that. We're about out of time. All right. Well, I guess we're going
to
wrap up this.
I was just going
to do the
fortune I just got from across the street.
Well, please tell us, Evelyn.
It says, you are always entertaining and delightful.
Amen.
Thank you. Yay. Amen. Evelyn. Ellen, in the 1983 season of Dynasty, did you have a feather duster?
No. No, I served coffee.
Oh. Well, listen, y'all, thanks a lot. This was, I guess, episode 49. Please subscribe to The Bob Dean Show on your iPhone. We are do we know what our count is?
7,000.
We're at 7,000.
Oh, for goodness sake.
7,000 downloads on iTunes alone in our first 16 months. Hooray for Bob Dean. Yay. And company.
Ta-da.
Yeah, so anyway, that's pretty freaking awesome. Thank you very much. I know you just pulled that. And look at Sammy with a little bang. I saw your sister walking her dog the other day again. Sammy's sister lives in my neighborhood. She's a little petite thing. Like, well, Sammy, you're, you know, little. But she's walking a Great Dane. Anybody next to a
Great
Dane.
Who's walking who in that case?
Exactly. But anyway, tell her I said, hey, next time, tell her that when somebody comes hopping out of a car going, are you Sammy's sister? That it'll just be me. Not to sick the dog. But anyway, please subscribe to The Bob Dean Show and ask your friends to rate and review. If you have an Android device like myself, It's Stitcher, S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R app. You can thank you to Zach Hernan. Because of Zach Hernan, you can listen to episodes on BobTheSurlyComic.com. And thanks to Joe White and Sam Junio, you can now watch from the Ruby Studio in Hollywood, California on Sunset Boulevard, The Bob Dean Show. So please, you guys, yay, get out there. I got to remember, I got to hire somebody that knows what hashtag means. Well, get on it, dude.
Get on what? Dude.
Put whatever. So anyway, that's it for The Bob Dean Show for this episode 49. Our next episode will be 50, so it may not be just next week because we're going to do something special. I might even wear a Speedo.
Oh.
You never know. Hey, thank you, Evelyn, and thank you, Bill, for coming
thank
all the way over
us.
The past, and I hope that you guys had a good time.
It was fun.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Sammy. Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Zach. Thank you, Dennis. And thank you, Bob Dean.
Yay.
God bless. Bye. Yay.